As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission, I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going, better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain, keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa. I'm never gon' give up, fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah.
You're listening to the Tom Fickler Show on WNHHLP 103.5 SM, your home for community radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tom Fickler Morning Show. My name is Sean Reeves. I'm going to be your host today. This morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about Project Longevity in the community collaborative that they have around violence prevention in the city. So just to give a little brief history about Project Longevity, they've been around a long time now. They've been instrumental in a lot of the violence prevention initiatives that kind of take place inside of the community. They work alongside the police department and violence prevention groups to try and curb community gun violence. Now, they have had some stigmas. They have done a lot of changing as of now, and they have a more of a collaborative effort, more community focus. Their goal is to keep people safe, alive, and out of jail. Now, this morning, we have a few of the collaborators. Minister John Lewis from the New Haven Clergy Association, Michelangelo Palmieri from Clifford Beards, and Pepe Vega, who's going to be representing, I believe, UCA this morning, right? Urban Community Alliance?
Yes.
So good morning, gentlemen. Let's get into it. Minister Lewis, you got to come on, put yourself on speaker. So, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with this collaborative and what you're doing now.
Let me just say first, I appreciate you, Sean. Even though you hosting the show, you also one of the instrumental parts in the community. Everybody knows that, so appreciate you putting us on the show there. I've been a part of the community for a while, for like 30, well, all my life, really, but I've been active and doing help the repair of the community for about 30 something years, and me being a part of Project Longevity now as a part of that repair, coming on board. First of all, just with Chief Jacobson and Sherry Holler, Kate Gunning, which are and then Q and some of the others that are very instrumental in all of this. Great, Sherry has a great heart, passion, wanting to see change in the community, wanting to connect with people, wanting to see how we can make the difference. Same way with Kate, I believe she should be a probation officer. And Chief Jacobson, all of us know him in even our efforts around the city. He's always out there in the community. Project Longevity's collaborative in which I've been contracted to help. I'm the family and community liaison to help connect the families in the communities to the work and the collaborative of Project Longevity, which a lot of times is just focusing on the individuals that may be targeted as one of those that need the assistance of the organization or the collaborative, but the families sometime was out of the loop of that. And so now is an opportunity for the family and the collaborative, for the families to get involved, for us to support the family, also to support the community, for the community to be involved. What we're doing now, the initiative, is to bring that awareness campaign about Project Longevity and the collaborative to the community so that they can get involved and that Project Longevity and the collaborative can hear a collective voice now from the family and from the community where a lot of this violence is going on at. So we're committed to that, to hear the community and the family's voice and see how we can strategically really start to work and really bring forth a beloved community that we all would feel safe in.
Thank you. So basically, what I hear you saying is you're going to be doing a lot more community-facing information to let them know exactly what the collaborative is. The collaborative sound like it's more of a wraparound service type of environment as opposed to what it used to be, which was just focused on the individual
Right.
that they may have deemed high risk or at risk of being shot or getting or doing a shooting.
That's right.
So let's talk about Michael. Let's talk to Michelangelo. And Michelangelo comes from Clifford Beards, correct? So let's just talk about some of the additional supports that Clifford Beards now helps Project Longevity alongside with.
Thanks, Sean. Hey, Pastor Lewis, Pep, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, I'll start off though, Sean, just quickly. I'm born and raised product of New Haven. My father's family immigrated to New Haven in the 1920s to the Hill Section. So I have literally 100 years worth of history in the city of New Haven, and which, coming from probation for 21 years and transitioning into this role at Clifford Beers, it really gives me an opportunity to reconnect to the community that my family has been involved with. My mother immigrated to New Haven in the 50s from Colombia. So, I kind of I'm all I'm the product of immigrants, but I'm also a product of the city of New Haven. And I think that this work is really instrumental and important on kind of rebuilding some of the communities that have been so negatively impacted by the violence that we're targeting with this program. One of the things I wanted to add to what Pastor Lewis had shared is the old, the kind of pre-existing model of Project Longevity was this community delivering the message of against violence and the PD delivering a message about the consequences. Now, with this rebranding that they've done in the last year in partnership with Sherry Haller, Kate Gunning, and the chief, from New Haven PD, we're looking to integrate this component of wraparound services. And we're really now really trying to connect the community and the participants in this program to some of those services, which feels like that was like somewhat of the disconnect with what was going on with the program before. So with this kind of piloting and rebranding of what were the new approach that we're taking, Clifford Beers specifically is leading the service coordination efforts. And we have a team with a project administrator, a case manager, a program manager working with Justice Education Center, our law enforcement partners, but we're also working with our outreach partners at UCA, at CTVIP, Amistand. We're working with the housing partner, with New Reach. And so all of those partners are coming to the table weekly to discuss cases, to identify individuals who might benefit from this program. And really, it's identifying individuals so that we can, work with them on identifying what those needs are, how to keep them off the streets, how to keep them out of violence, and then really work with them to kind of get those opportunities, get those services, get those resources in place to really help them. Our role as service coordination with Clifford Beers, we're taking the wraparound CT model. Our team is trained in the foundation of care coordination, which is a family-centered approach. It's really designed, to identify strengths with the individuals, with the family members, identify what their needs, and really building a natural support network for those individuals that we're working with, for those members of the community and participants that have been identified that we're working with, to build a team around them to help them achieve some of the benchmarks and goals that they identify. And so that's like at the forefront of what we're doing. We're taking this holistic approach. We're working and identifying our the team members that are already at the table, but some other community members that might not be part of the formed team that we have with Project Longevity, and bringing them in as needed as well. We're also working on identifying some of those natural support that our participants, they might have burned some bridges with family members, with other community members, and we're really thinking about how we can engage those natural supports that they have to hopefully get them on that path to turn their lives around, which is why I'm really excited about what, you know, Pastor Lewis is trying to do, because I think like that's been a missing component to some of this. Is we've done a great job really informing the participants and our partners about what we're doing, but now we need to get it to that next level so the community understands that we need their help too. And also realize that a lot of these individuals, you know, they've made some decisions that have impacted their standing in their own families, in their own community. And in order for us to get them, you know, it takes a village approach. That's really how we're looking at it. You know that we can't do it by ourselves as Clifford Beers, which is why we may have to tap into UCA. We may have to tap into Pastor Lewis and his skill set and the other partners at the table to really engage these individuals and get them to make those small steps for change. And really base it on what they're identifying. So, you know, again, the premise of what we're doing from Clifford Beers and the service component, service coordination lane, is really working with the individuals to identify and build the team, but identify goals and be really goal driven on how they're going to get through and utilize the resources that this program now has to offer. And we're just that one cog in the wheel. I'll leave it to that and hand it off to you for whatever questions or whatever you got.
Matt, listen, you gave us a handful, right? And thank you very much for all that you just said. It's important that we understand collaboration is key moving forward, because it allows people to do just what they need to do, not more than what they need to do, and try to overextend themselves, right? There's always opportunities to collaborate and connect with individuals, and that's the village concept. A village collaborates with each other. Families collaborate with each other when they're in, you know, a good space. And it's all about collaboration at the end of the day. So next, we're going to talk to my man, Pep Vega, over here. So everybody knows Pep been involved with violence prevention, man, more than probably 20 years now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows him. It's all good. We're going to let Pep share a little bit about, you know, what he offers over there with UCA. And also, you know, still always talk about, you know, the instrumental things that the hospital is doing as well.
Right. How you doing, everybody? So, yeah, Pepe Vega. Thanks again, Shock. Sean, sorry. Shock, that's my... I look up Shock every time I see Sean, I rub him for good luck. You know what I mean? I just, he inspires me, man. That's my man, you know? He'd be cracking up. But anyway, yeah, so in this role, I am the coordinator for Urban Community Alliance, working with Project Longevity. And I think one of my strengths is, well, I'll start by saying I love the direction that Project Longevity is going now. I remember 10 or so years ago when we used to do the call-ins and we meet different places, it felt different, you know, even to the community. So I'm not going to lie, I didn't want to be a part of it. I felt like it was a threat. It was like, you either do this or we're going to lock your friends up. And it was totally, you know, it was different than it is now. Now I have to admit that I love it. I love the way it is. I love the collaboration piece. We all working together. I love talking to all you guys every day. And me, myself, I think I'm very resourceful. And as Sean, you mentioned, I also work for Yale New Haven Hospital. Although they're not a partner to Project Longevity, I kind of, you know, I'm deeply involved with the outreach program that they have as it relates to victims of gun violence and things of that nature. So I could tap into resources that the hospital have for, you know, a targeted client that we might all be working together with. I talk daily with Pastor Lewis. Like, soon as a person is a victim of gun violence or stabbing or something like that, most likely I'm meeting with them within 24 hours. So right. I'll have valuable information already. I'll link with Pastor Lewis. I'll call Sean. I'll talk to Michelangelo. I'll talk to everybody. You know, we all working together. We had a meeting last week that was powerful with a client. Like, everybody got together and seeing what resources they had. And it's just amazing to me. And I'll end it with saying, I'm always short, but I'll end it with saying, I love the direction it's going.
Thank you. And UCA, so you guys do a lot of some case management as well too for individuals.
Right. So we do case management. You know, they have a fatherhood program. They have a vets program. And, you know, it's also like relationships. Like, they have a fatherhood program, but we have another organization that have a fatherhood program. So whatever they can't provide, you know, we'll connect with somebody else.
Right. For UCA. You tag team with other organizations.
Right. Yeah. So Yeah, so I'm doing the case management and coordinating for UCA. So, but I don't look like it's just, I don't feel like it's just UCA. I'm going to tap into you if I know you have resources.
So what it is, again, one organization can't carry the load because it's a big load to carry, right? The more we allow the collaboration to unfold with organizations that can carry loads in different formats, case management, or I don't even like to call it case management because it's so boxed in. Right. All of us are New Haven residents. We're all a part of this community in ways that are so intricate. We're all each other's life coaches and swords to sharpen our skills off of, right? And for me, just being in the community, it's been now my duty to figure out how to help heal and how to help build, you know, something that I was a part of destroying at a time when I was younger in life and really didn't understand what I was doing, right? And I know many of my peers didn't understand it either. And we're a long way now. We want to do better. A lot of us are doing better. We're not in the same situation, but there's a lot of work that still needs to get done. We have been stripped of a lot of resources in the past or just unaware of the resources that actually exist in the community and how to connect with them. Minister Lewis.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to kind of add.
So you got to take yourself off mute.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Minister Lewis was trying to speak. His button's on mute, so he can't, you know, we can't hear him. He doesn't know. You can just keep yourself off mute, and then, you know, we'll go one at a time.
All right. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I just wanted to add that and really highlight what looks like Sean, we lost Sean, but really wanted to highlight what Pep was kind of indicating about, you know, the power, I think, with this revamp that I've seen is that we're all really making a concerted effort to connect on these cases. And it's not, it's understanding, like, my expertise, I may need to tap into someone else in the room's expertise to make a connection with this individual or this family or a community member who may have been impacted, you know, by what we're responding to. And historically, you know, having worked in New Haven, you know, for 20 or so years, and even beyond that, just watching with my mom, you know, we've been so siloed in New Haven with the resources. And I just want to reiterate that point, because I feel the same way as Pep, is that we're really starting to connect the dots and connect, like, Pep wears a lot of different hats. I have 6 programs that I work with at Clifford Beers, that if I need to tap into one of those other programs or one of my other teams, that's what I'm going to look to do and bring their expertise in, because there's so many cross sections and intersections with our various programs and resources that we can find a way to tap into it and help with one of these community members that we're working with. I just wanted to reiterate that I think it's so important that in this work specifically, we really have to come in with that spirit of partnership and community, because that's really the only way we're really going to be able to impact and make the difference that we're looking to make, is that we're all coming in with that, you know, when it's not my lane, I need to know who to call or who to bring in to tap them into their lane when it's their level of expertise. Because I know I can't connect at some levels, you know, with certain individuals. So I really wanted to reiterate that, because I think that's the direction. And Pep, you've kind of been involved since this rebranding of it in the last year. Sean, you as well, like, to see, and Pastor Lewis as well, you've kind of started to see some of those changes from what the previous iteration of Project Longevity looked like. And that's what I'm most hopeful about, is that with individuals like us at the table, we're not going to let some of that systemic barriers prevent us from doing the work that needs to be done. So I just wanted to add that, because what Pep said really resonated with me as well.
Perfectly said.
Minister Lewis?
I just wanted to piggyback off of Pep and Michelangelo, and you also, Sean, a couple of things. Number one, we all have that past, and we have the opportunity. Some of us have that, you know, the synergy of it. Some of us have that past and the opportunity for redemption. I call it redemption. Of course, I could use that language and anybody else can, but I feel even more privileged in some ways because me being a pastor, talking about redemption and being able to kind of be able to give back in the way that we're giving back. I was in the 80s hustling and then coming into the 90s and then came another crew. I think you all came after that. We wasn't out there in the sense it was more of phone calls and delivering packages opposed to standing on the block and gang activity and all the interfacing with each other. So again, everything evolved and then things got a little bit more crucial. Families got more in the community, got more separated. People in the community got more divided. So this is years of stuff happening. We're dealing with the babies of these individuals that were impacted by the war on drugs, by drug addiction and all of that, fathers being incarcerated and everything. And this is why I know that the church is very vital to the change. And no matter what we might think about what the church hasn't done, I'm committed and to hold accountable to the pastors and the churches that are in these particular areas where the violence is going on, that they must get involved and participate. They must get involved. If it's not just us, if it's just us utilizing the location of where they're at. And so that we can go ahead and canvas the community and be able to have a place to be able to work these workshops. Along with other different activities that we want to do for these young people. The other thing that I do is conflict management reconciliation. I'm a lead trainer of the Connecticut Center for Nonviolence, which me, Sean, Pep, and everybody, you know, we've been talking about that, which we're going to, you know, indirectly be able to implement that. Why? Because we utilize it in our own personal life. There are things that we're able to use the conflict management skills in our own personal life so that not only that we can have an assignment as a mentor, but we live the life of a mentor because we are the example for them to glean from. Again, there are people that can be paid to do mentorship, but your life as one of those that's been able to change their life and go in the right direction, you are living the life of a mentor. Somebody is watching you. And the last thing, what I look at this is doing is like, I think anybody that's a part of organizations, they used to have this thing called SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's how we're approaching this. The strength of the community. What's the strength of the community? Okay, what's the weakness of the community? What's the opportunities that are there that we can utilize, and what are the threats? That is the approach that I'm looking at strategically when it comes down to community and family engagement with Project Longevity. If we harness it within that framework, we're going to be able to see the change progressively going in the right direction. And this did not happen overnight. So
definitely not going to be an overnight success. Like, you know, again, we have to think in a long term, right? But what do we do now? So one of the things that I want to kind of just talk about or mention really quick is some of the opportunities that exist in Project Longevity. Individuals that are part of this organization or this program, if they have a driver's license issue, Project Longevity has the ability to help you guys through getting your driver's license, right? They offer programs, CDL, through Amistan and Ernest Pagan. They have, you know, spaces to help individuals that want to become carpenters, try to get themselves into the union, right? They have a lot of opportunities. And unfortunately, some of these opportunities are not taken advantage of because of the nature of the situation in our community. And, you know, I kind of just want to touch base on some of these things, because in order for our community to grow, they need to know how things have to happen in order for them to grow. Right. I heard there was an incident and not even with the Project Longevity guy. I'm just going to talk from my experience with individuals in the community that I know are looking for jobs and trying to do better. One of the things we have to realize is, man, drugs and alcohol play a heavy role in some of the reasons why people can't get connected to jobs and good jobs, because substance abuse is really unacceptable in the workspace. right? So I think that, and this is just for me, our young adults dealing with the collective amount of services, you know, being able to connect with therapists, being able to collect with other social service supports, finding ways to start getting our younger population connected to more drug and alcohol counseling, right? That's one thing I realized, these individuals don't have places and spaces to go and be able to talk to themselves, their peers, and other individuals like us around some of this stuff, because people tell me all the time, marijuana is legal. So I go, it is legal in the state of Connecticut and somewhere across the country, but one thing I know is if you can't pass a drug test, you don't have to get hired by any company. And I have companies, and I wouldn't hire a person that really can't pass drug tests, because you become a liability to my insurance. You become a liability to other employees if something happens. Like, you know, so all of these circumstances are what a business has to think about as a, when they bring individuals into their operation. So, you know, a lot of this collective work that's happening has opportunities for individuals to do some of these things and, you know, have the opportunity to connect with the therapist, connect with other support services to try and help themselves get to the place that they need to be. Right.
Yeah.
But we have to meet our, we have to meet our community where they are. We have to be real and upfront with ourselves and everybody that's here, because in order for us to do better, we have to know the steps that it's going to take in order to do better. But I love this collaborative now. I love this, the ability to have institutions and organizations around the city now willing to work more closely with community, right? Yeah. Really bring community in a way that's fruitful and beneficial, not just, you know, taking their intellectual property and using it for their best interest anymore.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, like, even with Michelangelo, with Clifford Beard, a lot of people think that, you know, getting some kind of going to see a therapist or being able to go to those different, a lot of people don't even understand or they don't know what Clifford Beard is all about. That's why I say that information, we got to gather the right information. Even with UCA, a lot of people heard about it, but maybe they don't know the depth of what it is that it does, because again, right, you're going based on hearsay. So being able to really put out that right, the right information, and remember, this is preventive work. This is not, we don't, like at the Connecticut Center for Nonviolence, when it comes to conflict management and reconciliation, we let them know off the bat. We don't put out fires. We do have people that can put out fires. You got intervention. You got the fire department. You got those that are going to address the fire. However, preventive work really attempts to stop people from setting fire. Preventive work is preparing people to be successful. And some of that might have to include sitting down with a therapist, because we all got generational trauma. You cannot tell me that living inside of a community that is riddled with violence, living in a family that is riddled with violence, you've learned to survive, but don't tell me that you are not traumatized. You've suppressed that trauma. So then seeing a therapist is not something that's corny. It's really helpful. And so we can get that messaging out about that, about, you know, with Clifford Beard and the other partners that are connected to the Project Longevity Collaborative. We gotta get that messaging out so that these young people won't feel like, you know, they don't have nobody, or the community doesn't feel like nobody that that they can connect with.
Mr. Vega, you wear many hats, man. I see you have a large crowd now and a large gathering with some of the other work that you do inside of the community. And I'm gonna say the give back work, right? Right. It's not just about doing that type of, you know, that work. You're also giving back to the community and empowering young minds to take advantage of some of the gifts that they have and some of the interests they have. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. Thank you. Yeah. So I started a nonprofit organization last year called Street to Straight, you know, because just like Sean and Pastor Lewis, I was in the street myself. I ran rampant, did all the type of stuff, but as Pastor Lewis always tells me, I made a full transition from street to straight. That's why I named it that. And I know a lot of youth want to do the same thing. So I'm deep into the arts. So I found a way to connect myself with Michael Jai White, his film team. So I got a program. I got a small grant to teach filmmaking to the community, film production. So we started about 5 weeks ago at the Stetson Library every Thursday from 4 to 6. We started out with about 15 people. Yesterday we had 67 people. Every week is growing and growing and growing. You know, even Eric Clemens came yesterday to see it. You know, I got to meet with him today, you know, about it. He's like, whoa, you know, so it was amazing. It's amazing. We're teaching all aspects of filmmaking. And then at the very end, we're going to make a film incorporating even Project Longevity. You guys don't even know that. I'm showing them the resources they can get and all that. I'm showing the car theft. And we're going to do a real smart film, a strategic film. And we're going to show them how to put out filmmaking. And then I, you know, it has a music aspect to it, street to street, you know, financial literacy shock. We all trying to do that as well. I partnered with a law firm in Hamden that's going to do 12 pardons a year for free for youth. And it's still growing. You know, I'm trying to get a location and things like that now. So that's what the Thursday event is about. I appreciate you mentioning it.
Listen, again, part of the responsibility is to let people know all that we actually have to offer to these to our community, to our young minds, right? Every opportunity that we get, we must try to make sure we share every bit of what we're doing. It's important. We never know who's watching, who's listening, and who they know might need some of the services that are being offered, right? So we have a little while. Minister Lewis, you want to talk about what's going to be happening with you? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Churches? Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we have an event that's coming up on April the 3rd. It's going to be at 6 p.m. We're going to put the address out there. We're working on it. It's going to be on Butler Street with Pastor John Cotton, again, over at his church. We also have a walk that's coming up with Clifford Beards, which would be with Michelangelo and them out in the community with Jackie Burney, right? Michelangelo. Yeah,
that's all the community partners. That's all. It's a ton of community partners at those walks. But go ahead.
And so we're going to go out. And then the idea of that is go door to door. We want to get some of the young people to walk with us door to door, knock on the doors in that community of Newhallville around Butler Street, that we go out on the street after we do we're going to go out before the actual canvas on April 3rd, but we want to go out there and interface with those people that are living in that community. We're not just talking about people that come over there and hang out. We want to talk to people in that community that live in that community. One of the things that is a tragedy also, you have people that are hostage in their own home because they can't come outside because of the violence. They can't even sit out on their own porch. You got grandmothers and mothers that are afraid to let their kids come outside because they don't know whether a stray bullet will hit them. We need to hear their voice. We want them to get involved. We want them to get engaged. We want them to know that Project Longevity and the Collaborative is interested in taking on some of maybe the ideas that you might give us to go ahead and address. So we're going to be hitting the streets. We're even thinking about setting up one of the something outside where we bring the speaker outside and allow people to have testimonials that have been able to walk through some of the assistance of Project Longevity. Let's bring it outside so people can literally see and see people that have been impacted by it. So that's going to be April 3rd at 6 p.m. We put the address out there. Look for it on our Facebook page. We're going to have flyers out there. I don't have the address off the top of my head, but it's going to be a New Hope. I believe it's New Hope Baptist Church on Butler Street, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, we're definitely going to get some information out there, some flyer information. I know we're supposed to be having some hand pamphlets and things like that when we go and do the community canvassing. But also, this is not just going to be at the one church, right? You're going to be going around the entire city, right?
That's right. We're starting in Newhallville. Then we're going to go over, we're going to pick out every different area around New Haven. We're going to each area, we're going to pick
and designate a church in that area to be the headquarters. And not only when we go there just to meet and have the conversation, but that church would be designated as the headquarters that we can stay in contact with, and all the other providers, all the other organizations will have a contact person for services for those individuals in that area. Then at the ending of, I believe in June, we're going to have the culmination of all of those areas that we went to. We're going to have one big meetup. And we haven't picked a place yet, but we're going to have a big meetup of all of those areas. So we're looking for mothers to get involved, fathers to get involved, uncles, aunts, cousins, young people. We're looking for the pastors, ministers, elders, all of you all to get involved, because we cannot do this alone. It's going to take all of us working together in order for us to see and to build that beloved community.
And again, it takes a village to change things, right? It takes a village to raise an individual, and we can't raise our nation without our women and our elders, right?
That's right.
So any other pressing issues, any new information anybody else want to share about any other programmatic things that's happening around their organizations?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, I just wanted to add as part of like what some of the programming that we offer. So, you know, I had kind of indicated what Clifford Beers does in relation to service coordination, but we're tapping into, we've got individuals who need to get their GEDs, you know, so we're working with adult ed with some of these individuals to get them to that starting a point. So it's about like this journey, creating this journey with them and trying to set them up and pass about this a couple of times about setting them up for success. And yes. And it's you know, we don't want to put the cart before the horse, using that old analogy. It's we want to build that foundation. So we start with developing plans with them. Like if they need to clear up some tickets with, you know, DMV, we're working with them to do that. We're working with them to get to adult ed, get their GED, get the high school diploma. We're working with an individual right now that we're hoping to tap him into some college credits that he had already started and figure out how he can get that bachelor's. You know, you mentioned CDL, you mentioned the Carpenters Union. We're working with the Connecticut Laborers Union to get individuals trained so that they can step into careers, you know, that give them alternatives where it's not a job where they don't feel like they're making the bread to kind of provide for their families. We're really trying to set them up to get into careers in a lot of instances with a lot of the individuals who are really at that point of maturity and wanting to make those changes. They have those tools at their disposal. You know, we're doing work with the Million Job Campaign through the NAACP, you know, Salvation Army, Next Street, Adult Ed, you know, Strive, Emerge. Like we have partners that are part of Project Longevity, but like I said before, we're tapping into all of those other community resources that can help us build that journey for these individuals and that kind of journey for success. And really that's what this new kind of revamp branding of the program, you know, there's this intervention component to it where it's going to be part of it, where there are some members of our program that we need to intervene in what the activities are that they're engaging in the community. But then we have this whole other group that are at that change state. They're at that mind state of ready to being at change. And that's where this kind of wraparound approach that we're taking is tapping into all of those other community resources to really get them on the path that they're telling us. They're identifying what they want to do. Yes. So that's one piece with the career. And then the other piece that we work on with them, you know, through our program is starting to talk to them. So some of them have come in with like court mandated therapy, court mandated programs that they have to do. And certainly they'll work hard and get through that. But once they're done with that, to speak to what Pastor Lewis was referencing to, our project administrator and case manager are really trying to tap into them, the, you know, our members to talk about therapy beyond what's mandated by the courts and really getting to the core of why they've got they're in the situation that they're in. So we're working with like holistic behavioral health, our own partners within Clipper Beers, but we're working with a bunch of other providers in the community that provide those therapeutic resources and really trying to expose our members to taking that first step, give it a try. You know, and so we're really being intentional with developing those partnerships with, you know, partners outside of Clipper Beers for sure, to think about how we can engage them and some of those resources, because once we're done, once we kind of hand it off, they need to have those supports and that natural support and an understanding of how to tap into those systems and resources once we step out. And that's the ultimate goal, is kind of giving them that roadmap to how to access those resources. So I just wanted to add that as well. It's you talked about what some of the resources were. You know, we're trying to get individuals into careers, but also into that pathway to like healing so that they have the sustainability. Yeah. As they get older or as they kind of move through this process to do it on their own eventually and know who they can tap into eventually on their own.
Let me add this too, again, before, because I know we're coming to a closing. And I say this as messaging to everyone that's listening, mom, dad, grandma, aunt, uncle, if you know any of your nieces, nephews, a friend, that has had any interaction with the judicial system or is associated with anyone that is interacting with an individual that has been impacted by the judicial system, incarceration, or whatever that thing might be. Project Longevity is dedicated to do the best that they can with them helping along, because nobody can make you choose to do the right thing. But we did not have these kind of services when I was coming up. They did not have an opportunity for them to come and to knock on your door or to say, look, we know what you're doing, but here's what we're willing to do. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We know what you're doing, but here's what we are willing to do to help you. We didn't have that. So here's a golden opportunity for us to really give you a chance to turn your life around. You don't have to be hostage. I'm talking to anybody out there. You do not have to be hostage to that friend of yours, who you call a friend, because you're afraid or you don't know if you'll be able to be embraced by others or you don't know anything else. What we're saying here is the opportunity. And mom, dad, grandma, uncle, aunt, whoever you are, if you have an individual, you may have a concern, call us. We have information out there that you can call us. You can get in touch with us. I don't know. We can put our number out there. I don't mind putting my number out there, but we do have a Facebook page. Us as individuals, I'm Pastor Lewis of Christ New Testament Church. We got other individuals that you might know on Facebook that get in touch with us, so that we will be able to talk to that young man or that young lady or that individual. You don't have to do it. You're not alone. We're here to support you. And that's the way that this is really going to work. This is not a paycheck. This is hard work. This is beyond their working hours. This is hard work. And that's what's going to make the difference. I believe I would not be a part of anything if, like I said, with Sherry Holler, the chief, and those that are involved at the top of this, and us here that are connected as partners, most of the individuals that are doing this work is not looking for a paycheck. This is hard work. This is beyond a paycheck.
Definitely, definitely, definitely it is hard work. It is hard work. It is hard work, but it's work nonetheless, right? And everybody that's spending more than, that's doing 40 hours a week in this type of field should be compensated for their activities, without a doubt, right? This type of work is tiresome. You know, it comes with a lot of complexities, and it can be a burden on a person. So, you know, we always have to remember, the more we engage in an economically sound way, the more sustainable communities become, right? Because one of the issues is an economic crisis that we have inside of our community. It's hard for our individuals to find employment, gainful employment, yes. right? They have housing concerns, but in order to address the housing concerns, they need to have employment to pay for housing, right? So we have a lot of different areas that we still need to operate and work on, but you know, the collaboration is actually expanding the opportunities that we didn't have years ago, right? When it was just this box mindset about project longevity and how it should operate, we now have this much more expanded opportunity, this much more focused role in how things actually participate in a more successful fashion for our community members, residents, and all those above, every stakeholder that's invested into these opportunities.
Yes.
So anything you want to mention about UCA over there, Pep, that we might not have gotten around to?
No, I think we kind of summed it up, but it's just we're trying to get more partners, you know, involved. I know UCA also has JRB and things like that. And like Michelangelo said, it's unlimited resources. And we probably need to reach out to people we don't know that can offer services. You know, this would be a call for that, too, because you know, people have things going on. I found out about every day. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't, you know, so, you know,
right.
Just have an open mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's working, right? So as we go, we're all a resource and we all have a certain level of resources. And to stay connected really builds up that network. Like we're inside of a network right now in this Zoom call, in this computer age world, right? But it's the connection. And being able to tap in and stay connected allows us to really, you know, kind of think outside of the box. Now, when we come to the table, we actually come to the table with more creativity than we did before because people are willing to listen and actually act upon, you know, some of the ideas that we're actually bringing to the table. And I think that makes a lot of difference and goes a long way with individuals like us who like to do this work. Right. One of the things we don't like to do is be boxed in because we're all very creative in our abilities to help make change happen here. Right. We all know what change looks like. We all have had personal development throughout our lives. And, you know, whatever lived experiences we have, whether they were bad, good or indifferent, we're here. That means we have been a part of what is called life in the journey that there is. So I want to thank everybody for taking the time out to sit and chat a little bit about, you know, some of this, the collaboration that's happening with Project Longevity. I do plan on having a follow-up conversation with either Kate Gunning, Sherry Holler, Police Chief Jacobson. They just couldn't make it today. They had some other pressing issues and maybe try to get the entire collaboration on board at that particular next event just to discuss it, or you know, just figure out ways how we're going to make sure that this work is staying connected to the community. I want to again thank you guys for all that you do in the community every day, whether it's seen or behind the scenes. It's not about what's always visible that makes the difference. It's the work that has to be done, you know, after hours, and you know, during times when people just don't really see what's happening, that also makes the difference, right? But our goal, I believe, here for us all is to really figure out how do we empower our community members to become empowered to help push this process forward and even faster, right? Because the more community members that realize they are actively involved in the success of this, if they decide to just realize they can do something and rather not do nothing, right? We can't sit back on our hands anymore and say, and wait for somebody else to bring prosperity into our lives. We all have to be a part of what prosperity looks like, not just within ourselves, but with everything around us, man. And if we get to connect with each other a lot more, I believe that, you know, we're really going to help accentuate what happens next in urban communities like New Haven, and across the country. So again, I want to say thank you guys for everything. And I think we maybe got a couple of more minutes. Any last closing comments?
I'm looking at Pep. I'm like, Pep looking like, yeah, what's going on? You know, he got that mug look on. I'm like, what's up, Pep?
Nah, you know, I'm always low-key.
Or that might be
Or that might be because he ain't got his glasses on to see.
Probably a mixture of both.
Probably a mixture of both. So we got we got a minute left. Any last remarks? Anybody want to give?
I just want to add as well. Last for me is, as we've said it, but the community is going to be the key for a lot of the, for a lot of our members to be successful. They need their community to understand that we do have individuals that are trying to make changes, and but some of those, it's difficult if they don't have those natural supports. And I also just want to add that the police department is understanding the value in this community collaboration as well. And I do have to give them credit to that piece, because they're understanding the importance of our community connections from the conversations that I've been able to have, that why this is so important as well, that these keeping the community engaged and informed about what we're trying to do, you know, that level of transparency is needed. So I just wanted to add that piece as well, that I'm hopeful that we're gonna be able to continue building with this model that we're trying to implement.
Yeah, I just want to say thank Sherry Holler, Kate Gunning, and Chief Jacobson, and all of those, and all the partners, and everybody that's in the collaborative. Thank everybody. Let's continue to do work together. Yep.
So that's CTVIP, Leonard Jihad and his team over there. They're part of the collaborative. We have Amistan, who is part of the collaborative. Clifford Baird's part of the collaborative, Urban Community Alliance, which is part of the collaborative, New Reach, which is part of the collaborative, the Clergy Association, which is part of the collaborative, Sean Reeves, which is part of the collaborative.
Yes.
And again, we're going to keep building this collaborative. So again, thank you, everybody. Have a great afternoon and a wonderful weekend. Again, this is the Tom Ficklin Morning Show. I'd like to thank Mr. Ficklin for allowing me to host this show this morning. Peace.
Yeah. As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission. I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going. Better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain. Keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa. I'm never gon' give up. Fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah. Cause this is my road.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio.